Good.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll wait just a moment. I know Mr. Willoughby went to get Mr. Lawson. As soon as they're back in the room, we'll have a motion to come back into session. After Ms. Murray makes her presentation or does her cross-examination, we'll then take a break for lunch. I've talked to both Mr. Willoughby and Ms. Murray, and we've agreed we'll take a 45-minute break at that time for lunch. I would remind everyone to check your cell phones in case you broke. During the break time, you turned your cell phone on. Be sure and turn it back to silent service, please. Okay, it'd be appropriate to have a motion to come back in session.
I make that motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried.
Okay, we're back in session. Ms. Murray, you may have your cross-examination.
Thank you. Ms. Brewington, do the deputies have a 35-hour week or a 40-hour work week?
40.
Okay, but the pay stubs do say 70 hours.
The payroll department has a very antiquated payroll system where it cannot distinguish. We have
hanging up. It's distracting.
Yes.
With him.
Yes.
It's okay. No, you got to do it. It's fine.
We have different folks in different departments that work different hours. Paramedics are in an average of 42 hours. The dispatchers are 42. Mm-hmm. Most of our employees are 35. We do have 40-hour employees, so it has to be set at one set work week. Very antiquated, but we are going through a implementation of a new system currently.
Okay. But the deputies are getting paid for 80 hours, even though the pay stubs say 70, but the overtime kicks in at the 40-hour mark.
That's correct.
Right. Okay. I also have a background in personnel, so I understand the distinction between hours logged versus hours worked. So if a deputy takes 8 hours of leave, but works 8 hours in overtime in the rest of the week, that 8 hours worked will be paid as straight time.
That's correct.
Not overtime, correct? Okay. I would think that the best way to tell that would be a weekly timesheet. And I did put one in the packet that I gave. It's number T87. I know you don't have a copy of it, but I will walk. Yeah, I'm not entering it. I mean, it's really just for demonstration. Are you familiar with?
No.
Okay, so if you have a weekly timesheet such as this one, okay, but I understand personnel doesn't get these timesheets. And what this timesheet shows is the daily in and out time of the deputy, hours worked, overtime, any leave that they used. Okay.
Yes.
Why doesn't personnel get these?
That is a sheet, I think, that's done internally. All of our employees are, as an exception basis, a salaried basis, mm-hmm. and then they turn in overtime and any exception leave. So vacation, sick, whatever it may be.
Okay, but you do
40 hours. Without.
You do get the overtime request sheets.
I do get the overtime request sheets.
And I did
yes.
see them in the binder.
If we do not receive one for that week, that pretty much states that it's 40 hours of regular.
Okay. So without the weekly timesheets, because the weekly timesheets would show any leave that was taken, how can you take the overtime sheet at face value?
There's a leave slip that they fill out and submit into us. And we take that amount and we apply it towards their attendance, their leave banks.
Okay. What happens if a leave request is inadvertently not submitted or if it's lost in transit?
Then we don't get that. So the issue with us is sometimes we do get that afterwards. We already get the overtime slip, so we'll just make an adjustment on the next pay period.
And if somebody is sick, for instance, they would not have, and you don't have the weekly timesheet to show that, but they had overtime, they could accidentally get paid overtime, correct?
Right, so that's why we should always get those very close together.
Okay.
They should be submitted at the same time.
Okay. I have a couple questions about Deputy Torres's personnel file.
Okay.
And I mentioned it in my intro about Section 2924 that states, I'm talking about sick leave here, in the event the employee leaves the employment of the county, the employee will receive one day's pay for every one day of accrued sick leave up to a maximum accumulation of 45 days. Why was Deputy Torres not paid for his accrued sick leave?
He would be paid out for any unused time on his next pay period. Our pay, the way it falls, last Friday was a pay. Mm-hmm. The week before that Wednesday, all time has to be turned in.
Mm-hmm.
So not knowing when Deputy Torres's last day was going to be, we didn't know that because his pre-termination hearing was that Friday. We have some other times that we're investigating at this point because with looking at the time that he has turned in, he may be in an overpaid status.
Well, but wait a minute here. The administrative, on his second to last paycheck, which had the May 25th, the pay date was May 25th, there was administrative leave on that check from the 3 days of the prior week. And then there were 2 days of administrative leave for the 21st and 22nd.
Correct.
I guess, correct? So you did know what his last day was.
We didn't when we submitted into payroll. Our department puts the information in. The payroll department, which resides in accounting, has to have that Wednesday before, the week before is when it's due because they input over 500 employees, and it gets submitted in on Tuesday.
Okay, but you guys actually cut him a standard paycheck for those last 2 days of administrative leave.
We did an offline check, a manual check.
Okay. So I guess the point of all of this is that he will be getting paid for his sick leave?
We are still doing an investigation to find out where he is, how much he's been overpaid.
Okay.
We did just receive a couple of pieces of documentation recently from the Sheriff's Department, which dates back to 4/19. We received those on June 4th.
Yeah, I do remember that. Okay. Did Deputy Torres, he requested a complete copy of his personnel file.
That's correct.
Did he get it?
He did.
Okay. I want to direct your attention to SC-79 in the binder. Personal information data sheet.
Yes.
Okay. This surely would be in his personnel file.
This actually is a form that is in his benefits file. It's not in his personnel file because it contains information that we cannot put in the personnel file, such as the Social Security numbers on there. There is some information about his emergency contacts, things of that nature. That actually goes into a separate file. It's in our benefits file.
Okay. So when he asked for his personnel file and all accompanying information, you just took it literally as just the personnel file and didn't give any information about benefits.
We cannot copy a benefits file.
Even for the person who wrote, because I didn't request it, he requested it. You cannot copy a benefit file.
We did not copy that. The personnel file is what we generally hand over, everything that's in the personnel file.
Okay, but pay is in the personnel file, correct?
It is.
Okay.
It is. Only because we do not have an integrated system. We have two separate systems in our HR department and our payroll department.
Okay. Why was a week of pay docked from his last full paycheck?
We had his pre-termination hearing on that Friday, so we knew that he was going to be paid administrative leave up until that Friday. But depending on how the hearing was going to go on that Friday, we didn't know when his last day or if his last day was going to happen until after we concluded that hearing. So once it had been concluded, a termination was made, we realized that termination was warranted, and the effective date was going to be Tuesday. So we paid him through that Tuesday.
It was a full week of pay that was docked, though. So when you look at the pay period, and, of course, I don't have the county calendar in front of me, but actually, wait a minute. I thought I had it with me, where I had the dates, you know, because I understand there's 2 weeks and then there's a break until the paycheck is cut.
Right.
So the paycheck for that was cut on 5/25, can you tell me what the pay period was that was covered by that?
I can't give you those dates. I don't have those right in front of me, but it was a split pay. So he terminated in the middle of a pay week because we pay current.
Let me think about that. Okay, so but it was supposed to be a full paycheck. So there was a full pay period, and then the following one was for the 2 days.
When we submitted payroll on Wednesday, that was the first
Wednesday
week of those 2 weeks.
Wednesday, the 23rd. Because I actually do know. I mean, the 23rd was a Wednesday. The paycheck was on the 25th.
The week before.
Okay.
So it wasn't the 23rd. It was the week before.
Okay.
Okay. So we submit payroll on that Wednesday.
Understand.
Okay. So we knew that his preterm hearing was going to go through Friday. So we knew he got paid 40 hours for that week. So we paid him that 40 hours. The following week, once we determined that termination was warranted and the date, then we owed him for those 2 days, the 21st and 22nd.
Okay. At this point, do we know whether he is being paid for the week that was docked, or is that part of the continuing investigation?
He was paid 2 out of the 5 days because his termination date was the 22nd. So Monday and Tuesday he was paid. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday he was already terminated.
I don't think that's accurate. And the last, let's see if I put the pay stub in here, T86. And I'm kind of flying blind because I gave you my copy. There's a standard work week there. 1,200, you know, 70 hours, correct? And then right underneath it says docked, and it's exactly a week.
Exactly. Because he's getting paid through the 25th. We pay current. His termination date was the 22nd. On this check, he received the 5 days because we knew it went through the preterm. He also received another check for that Monday and Tuesday, the 21st and the 22nd. That was his termination date. So the 23rd, 24th, 25th, he wouldn't have gotten paid.
Okay. Why? Because I know he didn't. Could I have that back?
Sure.
I know that he inquired about why he was docked the pay. Why wasn't he told?
He was paid through that date.
No. He asked why he was docked the pay in the letter that he sent. He wanted an explanation, and you sent a letter forwarding his personnel file, but did not address his question of why he was docked the pay.
Okay.
So I'm wondering why.
I think I have that in here. Let me just find the page and... It is on page 63. He received, enclosed is a payroll check in the amount of $232.32, which covers Monday, May 21st and May 22nd, for which you were on paid administrative leave. Payroll for May 25th, 2012 had to be submitted on May 16th, and due to your proposed termination and pending employment status at that time, we were only able to pay you for the week of May 14th through May 18th.
Okay. So, and I guess that part of that is it was from Denise Draper, and since he asked the question to Todd Lawson and you were writing the letter. So this is the explanation of why he was docked. All right, next question then. In his personnel file.
Did I say something when you said docked or not paid after he was terminated?
I said docked.
Okay.
Because that's what the pay stub said.
All right.
And docked means that it's taken away. So
he was terminated.
Okay.
All right. So he's going to be paid. You're saying he should have been paid for time he wasn't working?
No. What I was trying to understand
excuse
was...
Excuse me, Mr. Willoughby, if you're going to make an objection or ask a question, could you go to the microphone, please?
No, it's fine.
Due to the fact that there is... this is being broadcast, so the persons listening on broadcast can hear what's being said.
Well, I do.
Yes.
I know this is an informal hearing, but I do object to characterizing this as being docked when he was terminated and he was not entitled to payment. To me, a docking means that you've worked some time and it's being reduced from your paycheck. He was terminated, you know, so therefore he was not earning time to be paid. So again, it's an informal hearing. I don't think we need a ruling on it, but I just object to the use of that terminology.
Point noted.
Okay, and in closing, it was the county's word, docked. So my question has to do with the personnel file. And I see that you have all the pay information in here. Okay, so there's one, I'm at T13 and 14. You don't need to, it's the accounting sheets. Okay, and we have one for April 3rd that shows, and it shows all pay changes, any kind of pay changes. And this is his medical insurance, and it changes from, you know, when he added his family, and then you flip to June 1st, and you can see where he's paid for the administrative leave. Okay, why isn't there one in the middle that kind of explains what happened, why I'm asking this question? It's a perfect example of an explanation for why a full paycheck was not issued.
The issue was he worked for that week. He was on paid administrative leave or worked. So he was paid up until that Friday. We did not know what his last day was going to be.
No, that's not the question. The question is, why isn't there an accounting sheet explaining it?
Those are payroll change notices.
Okay.
So those notices go from our department to the accounting department because we don't have an integrated system. What that does is it reflects the changes that are to be made on that pay period.
I understand that. But if a paycheck that does not have a full, is not full, that is a payroll change because it's an adjustment that had to happen. It was
correct.
A manual adjustment. So why isn't there one of these?
It is in there by telling them what to pay, that information for payroll. However, this happened on June 1st. So when we spoke, we cut an offline check, a manual check, so we didn't do a payroll change notice.
Well, actually, what's very funny is you did do a payroll change notice offline check.
Not during that week, we didn't. So that week, we did the payroll change notice only for that week, for those 5 days.
I guess my point here is there's been a lot of questions fired about why the full pay. I mean, it's kind of like insult to injury, and the magic bullet isn't here that would have explained it. And so it struck me as odd that it was a piece of paper missing out of a personnel file when it was clearly a pay difference in terms of the paycheck. But all right, let's got a little off point. All right, so he was given a complete copy of his personnel file then. That's your, okay.
Yes, he was.
All right, so the investigation of Deputy Torres. Did you compare other deputies' daily work logs against GPS readings?
Yes, we did. We looked at Deputy Pat Smith, looked at her daily log sheets against the GPS.
Okay. Why wouldn't you have mentioned that when you had your meeting, for instance, with the sheriff and Chief Deputy Dennis Lineweaver?
We were only specifically looking for answers why his did not match.
But don't you think it would have given some context if you did look at another deputy and you said you looked at Pat Smith, did you look at any other deputies?
Yes, we did. We looked at a couple other, but Pat Smith has been turning in overtime, so that's why it was relevant to look at her.
Okay. Did you check the idle time of
we
other
did.
Deputies?
We did check the idle time. She had some idle time, but her idle time was not sitting in her driveway for those lengthy periods of times. Her GPS log did match what her daily log sheet stated.
But you didn't share that information. Like when you're talking to the sheriff about one of his employees and saying, we have a huge problem here, you could have also said, but we don't have the problem here to give it some context. I'm just curious why you wouldn't have shared that.
Because we received the daily log sheet on May 7th from Chief Deputy Lineweaver. When we asked...
You received what daily log sheet?
The daily log sheets. For
all of them?
For all of them for Deputy Torres. When we received those, after that on May 9th, we requested a meeting with Sheriff Christopher, and he would not meet with us.
Okay, so the idle time, when you looked at Pat Smith, her idle time was, I missed part of what you said. What did you say about her idle time?
She did have idle time. She did not have the idle time sitting in her driveway and other locations. Her GPS and daily log sheet matched her work, what she was doing.
So in the termination letter that says 143.12 hours of idle time, in it said that there was 18 point something of idle time in his driveway.
That's correct. Okay.
But the letter itself was talking about 143 hours of idle time.
That's correct.
Okay, but you didn't, I guess I'm kind of confused here, because if you checked Pat Smith's idle times, you're saying that she didn't have the idle time in her residence, but she had other idle time, correct?
She had some idle time in her residence. It might have been 10 minutes.
But I'm not talking about the residence. I'm talking about the whole point of idle time. When you send a letter that says, you know, you're in trouble for 143 hours of idle time, mm-hmm. and there are other deputies that also have idle time, I guess what I'm looking for is some context here.
Right.
Is the one, so you're, and I don't have that answer, and I'm wondering why.
He had the most idle time in the whole department. And
how do you know that?
We ran the idle time report.
Did you check? So you did check it against all the other deputies then?
Did.
Okay, but you just told me that you checked Pat Smith's.
We checked the total amount. We didn't check specifically each idle time for each deputy.
Okay.
Okay.
So we
ran an idle report, and it showed us that he had more idle time. He was on top than anyone else.
And is that the stop idle report?
No.
Okay. Is that the activity detail report?
No, it's just an idle report in general. It just summarizes the total amount of idle time.
So it's not a report that's in here anywhere?
That information is on his idle report.
His stop idle.
The reason for we were asking for information about his stop idle time is because there were addresses on there that were frequented just about every day.
Did you ask him about those addresses specifically?
Yes. We asked Fruitland Avenue. That was one of the addresses that we asked about.
You asked him about Fruitland Avenue?
We asked Chief Deputy Lineweaver about Fruitland Avenue.
Okay. You did not ask Deputy Torres about Fruitland Avenue?
No, we did not ask him. We stated that there are different places on here. Wilson Hill Road was one of the places that we asked him about, and he did not give us an answer other than it was a mechanic that he was taking his vehicle to that was a friend.
I understand that. But, you know, in the spreadsheet that was up there, you had idle time at his house, Wilson Avenue, Fruitland, and other, I think, was the other one. But you did not ask him specifically about those. You asked Chief Deputy Lineweaver.
Correct. We found those addresses after Chief Deputy Lineweaver provided us with more detailed information on his daily log sheet.
Okay, so one of my questions was about Deputy Torres as compared to other deputies. Did you verify Deputy Torres's daily work logs by any other means than the GPS reports?
His overtime report.
Okay, but I'm talking about his daily work logs. So what he did during the day, did you verify that anywhere else did you only use the GPS reports?
We did. We did inquire with Chief Deputy Lineweaver and tried to get an answer to that, and he stated that he could not answer.
But no documentary proof?
No.
Okay. Did you pull copies of his returns for any given day and make sure that they match the daily work log?
No.
Okay. Well, I did. And for demonstration purposes, I'm not entering these into evidence. This is April. Okay. And due to the expedited nature, I wasn't able to compare the daily logs for the entire two-month period, but I was able to do it for a few days in April. And I understand that the daily log has cards left and things like that, which there would not be a return for. But what I found was that the returns matched the daily work logs for April 4th, April 23rd, April 25th. And they are that's T49 to
T85. Let me make an objection here. You say that you match, and that's obviously you're testifying. Are you saying that the times on the returns that Deputy Torres turned in show where he was, or are you just showing that the returns are some of the same locations?
I am not saying that it's the times because the returns do not have the times. They have the day. And what I'm trying
Thank you.
So my point is that if I can verify the whereabouts in an alternative way, with a few days to prepare for this, why can't you?
We asked for additional information.
But you have access to this, so that's why I'm confused.
We don't have access to this unless it's provided by the sheriff's office.
Really? Okay. I have an affidavit here from Lisa Parker. That is, one moment, please. I, of course, can't find it, where she stated the following. She performs an audit every 2 weeks on documents served by each deputy to ensure that there's no backlog and that she recalls no issue with Deputy Torres having overdue documents and that Deputy Torres has the second largest area of all the deputies. So if Deputy Torres is messing around and cheating the county of time, how did he stay current?
I can't answer that.
Okay.
We've asked very specific questions about his times not matching, and that's what we are trying to get addressed.
But you didn't give him the detailed times for him to respond, is my point.
The information was put in his termination letter over several things that were not addressed.
What was put in his termination letter was, you have 143 hours of idle time, 18 of which was at your house and 4 of which was at Wilson Hill Road. That is not specific information about dates and times. So, all right, I want to read you an email from Chief Deputy Lineweaver. This is SC78. Hello, Karen. Jeff and I checked out the dates and times that you gave me on sticky notes. Sticky notes? At this point, you're conducting an official investigation because Hal Godwin had already done his ride-along on April 30th. And your official investigation is, I'm kind of confused about the documentation, it's sticky notes. So why were you not at this point doing formalizing your inquiry?
They had asked for the information to write down the dates in question on a post-it note that was attached to an idle report.
Okay, but my point is that, I mean, clearly you're looking at this point. You're meeting with his direct supervisors. You want detailed information. You would want to document your you would want a paper trail. But you don't ask, you don't make an official inquiry. You have a meeting and ask a couple of questions and give them sticky notes. So I'm kind of curious about the formality of the investigation and the thoroughness of the investigation.
On May 3rd, that was our initial meeting. So it was a fact-finding mission what that was.
Absolutely.
So we talked about some of the discrepancies that we found. At that point, we gave them the idle report. They said just jot down the dates on there because, you know, it's in the binder. It's pretty lengthy, the idle report.
I've seen it. I've seen the stop idle, sorry.
So we jotted those dates down to help them to look and see, you know, what's going on at these addresses for those times per their request. So once we got the information back from Chief Deputy Lineweaver, he stated that he was in Bridgeville that day. The email that you alluded to. Mm-hmm. He mixed up the idle report with the activity log. He stated he was there, but the idle report is what we gave him. We wanted to know why he was idling so much at different locations for extended periods of time.
Okay.
And we never really got an answer on that.
Well, I can sort of see why, because that's not the question that was asked. It says that Jeff and I checked out the dates and times that you gave me on the sticky notes. Looking at the GPS logs, there are discrepancies concerning the log, and he's talking about April 4th. It says, for example, 4-4, see attached activity sheet. It does not show him at Bridgeville, Lincoln, Ellendale, blah, blah, blah. You say Torres was in Bridgeville on 4-5. The GPS confirms that. The question is 4-4. Okay, and then he wrote back and said, I know the 4-4 day. He was also in Bridgeville. So are you saying that he did not give you information that you asked for? You asked for specific information, and you feel that that was not answered?
I think it was very confusing because he was talking about the activity report, and we asked for information on the stop idle report.
Okay, but so did you get the answer? Do you feel like he adequately answered the question about his whereabouts?
No, that's why we asked him back for another meeting on May 7th to put the information in front of us.
Okay, so even though he says here that he got confirmation of credible persons, including the chief of police of Bridgeville, that place him in other towns that are not on the GPS, that's not considered reliable information.
It is reliable information. We knew he was in Bridgeville April 4th and April 5th.
Okay. Did Deputy Torres receive any... All right, so I believe I've already asked this question, but I'm going to ask it again. Why didn't you ask him about specific dates?
The specific dates that were brought to our attention on May 7th, we then again asked Sheriff Christopher to meet with us on the 9th. Mm-hmm. To clarify, and that's when he stated he had told Deputy Torres, Chief Deputy Lineweaver, and he told me himself that no one is going to be talking to us.
Did Deputy Torres receive any written warnings?
None other than the preterm letter.
Okay, and so do you consider a preterm letter a warning?
Yes, it's information that we have and information that he should be bringing to us during the termination hearing to allow him his due process.
Okay. Well, except the problem with the due process argument is that there's no specific information. So it's a letter that says, we find you've misappropriated overtime because you have 143 hours of idle time, 18 of which are at your house, but there's no detail behind it. So how is he supposed to refute it? He has no reports, no documents, no anything. How is that due process?
I find that hard to believe that they did not know what was going on because
that's
during
not what
that
I said.
Time.
Reports. Excuse me?
I think you should let her finish her question or answer. Cut her off.
Okay, fine. Point taken.
During this whole time, Deputy Torres was not supposed to take information from us because Sheriff Christopher told him, do not accept any information.
Information or letter, correspondence, wouldn't you say?
The letter.
Okay. All right.
After that, he was told that he could not talk to us at all. Our own employee, he was not able to talk to us without him being present. Chief Deputy Lineweaver, we couldn't talk to about time because he was told by Sheriff Christopher that he was not to talk to anyone. So there was a lot of things that we were trying to find answers for, but no one wanted to comply on the other end.
No one wanted to comply. Even though, and you said that you made a single request to Sheriff Christopher on May 9th, saying that you needed additional information, and when you didn't get that information, then that is when you guys decided to go ahead and move forward with the pre-termination?
That was County Administrator's decision, my recommendation. We were asking questions, not getting any answers.
Okay. I want to talk about March 20, the whole week of the leave request, March 29th,
okay
where you said that the leave request was not turned in until May 3rd. Well, you received it on May 4th. It's dated May 3rd. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. What would you say if I said that I believe a leave request was submitted back in March?
Well, we don't have a copy of that, and when I asked them about it, inquired, they didn't know.
Okay. I have to
the
find
the answer I got was that it was the office manager's fault that she did not turn it in.
My understanding of that is that she looked through her records and couldn't find a copy, and so they actually generated a new one that's dated May 3rd. But T-47 and T-48 in your book is, I'm going to identify it and I'm going to show it to you, is a Sussex County Sheriff Employee Annual Leave Report, dated as of 3/31/2012.
Right.
Okay. And when I go down and I look here at March 29th, there's 8 hours of leave taken. So how do we have, as of March 31st, we have leave that was taken, and it's of record, but in May, it's not?
Because the quarterly report was sent out on May 9th. It's a quarterly report, so once all time is turned in for 3 months, and I have a copy of that, you can see that.
Okay,
it was
so
sent out to all county employees because it's a quarterly review, and it's something that we're doing for our implementation of our new system.
Okay, so the quarterly report is sent on May 9th, and the leave request you're saying you got on May 4th.
That's correct.
So that's incorporated into here.
Yes, when she received that, she reprinted his, and it was sent out on May 9th.
Okay, but... Okay.
She originally printed it out, and that date was not on here before it was sent out in her May 9th memo.
And who's her? I'm sorry.
Denise Draper.
Okay.
Which is his HR representative, HR payroll representative.
Okay. So this report that I'm looking at that says March 31st, 2012 is really in May, and it's reflecting the quarter prior, and that you're saying there was an earlier report that did not have the March 29th time indicated on it?
When she first ran these reports, because she runs these, I mean, they're for 500 employees, mm-hmm. when she ran these and had their group together, because they all went out on May 9th for the entire county.
Okay.
And it's leave time, accrual, use, and verification. You're more than welcome to have a copy of it. We actually received these back from all of the sheriff's department on May the 22nd. It looks like most of these have been signed off on May 11th and the 10th. So looks like they received it and turned them around.
One other question. Where did I put? So bottom line, you're saying there was no leave request, that, or you do not have a record of a leave request that was dated March 29th?
We did not. Not until we received that later
what
on.
I am looking for my T's. Now, what I'm looking for is I put a leave, a weekly timesheet into my packet that is a copy of the weekly timesheet that Dennis Lineweaver signed showing that Deputy Torres took sick leave. No, I can't find it. In the exhibits I gave you. Right at the end. Thank you. I broke mine up with the binder clip. It's the last two I gave you this morning. There's 87. All right. I need T87. Where did my packet go? I split it in half. Oh, thank you. There it is. Oh, that's why I couldn't find it. 245, not missing it. All right, I'm going to have to revisit that because I can't put my hands on it at the moment. I've got a bunch of papers here. But the T87 has a timesheet that is signed by Deputy Torres. I think that's only 1 to 45, Pete. Signed by Dennis Lineweaver, and it shows sick leave that was taken. And it's dated April 2nd. So I maintain that I think there was a leave slip turned in.
Okay, because I'm confused. The time that was turned in was vacation time.
Well, and actually, I talked to Lisa Parker about that, too. And, you know, my understanding is that typos happen, that basically, you know, she sometimes puts, if they just say, I need a leave slip, she puts annual and not sick. But it was, the point of it actually is that it's the 8 hours of leave and that it was on record in that week. All right, a couple more questions. All right, so May 3rd, the meeting, the substance of that meeting was the discrepancies, but you gave them a report and you put sticky notes with dates. GPS issues. Mr. Willoughby asked about, has anybody else reported GPS issues?
Not to me, but I wouldn't.
And I understand, and I'll ask Mr. Godwin that too. Does anybody ever see their reports so that they could report if there was an issue?
There are times where, and this is probably more for Mr. Godwin, but he does review time with other employees that there's issues with. There might be speeding issues and things of that nature.
Okay. On the daily work log that and I'm not going to go through every date that you did, but the ones that were Mr. Willoughby asked about, where he was, and you said he was in Bridgeville at 8 o'clock. Okay, at the top of that, there's a word that says folder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The folder is actually where the documents originated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not necessarily the address of service. Okay, so a statement that says he was in Bridgeville at 8 o'clock is not necessarily accurate because it's the Bridgeville folder. It could have technically been another address. And the way you would know that is the returns, because the return actually has the date that, or the address where the service is actually effected. So at this point, when I'm looking at these daily work logs, and I understand what you're doing, where you're saying, okay, this says he was in Bridgeville at 8 o'clock and the GPS says something else, or he at 11 o'clock, you're basing that on the fact that it says Bridgeville means that he had to be in Bridgeville, even though it's actually the folder.
It states on the daily log sheet location served and the time.
If service was actually effective, right?
Attempts made.
Okay, but here's the thing. Location served is the actual place where they found the person. So if you have a Bridgeville folder and it turns out that the person is actually in Ellendale or something like that, it wouldn't necessarily. All it would say is location served. It wouldn't give you that address. That's my point. And so you've been saying he's in Bridgeville. Great. Are you aware that the middle school is close to the sheriff's office?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You may not be able to answer this, and I'll ask Mr. Godwin, how accurate is the GPS?
He's probably the one that you're going to need to talk to about that specifically.
Okay. I think that's all I have at this point.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Mr. Willoughby, do you have any redirect?
Sorry.
Then after your redirect, we'll see if the board has any questions of this witness, and then we'll take a break for lunch.
Thank you. Just a few questions. Now, the daily logs that were being referred to a moment ago, they have specific times, do they not, when someone was allegedly served or there was an attempt to serve?
They do.
Okay. And you were asked questions about whether or not you had conversations with, for example, Deputy Chief Lineweaver about the records of other employees and whether the overtime requests were looked at. I'm going to ask you to take a look at an email and ask you if that confirms that you, in fact, spoke with him about these issues. Okay, can you tell us what that email says?
Sure. This is an email from County Administrator Todd Lawson to Dennis Lineweaver and Hal Godwin. This was sent on Friday, April 27th, 2012 at 4:44. Dennis, I continue to get conflicting reports on Deputy Torres' vehicle GPS and the overtime request he has submitted. I've already shared with you a copy of the report for April 5th, 2012, which shows his vehicle was not started until 9:45 a.m. I'm in receipt of his most recent request for April 12th, 13th, 18th, and 19th. The GPS reports for those days continue to produce times that differ from Torres's request. I've asked Hal to run a test on the GPS on Torres's vehicle first thing Monday to see if there's a problem with our equipment. After that occurs, I can make a decision on these overtime requests. Please note, Deputy Smith's GPS was cross-checked with her overtime requests, and her vehicle's reports all coincide with her submitted time of work. Her overtime requests have been approved. Thanks, Todd.
Okay, so that's written confirmation that you, in fact, cross-checked against the overtime requests of other employees?
Yes.
Okay. I take it you don't have up there the document that you were given, the T87, the weekly time record from the Sheriff County's office?
No, I do not.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you mine. And I've written on it, but what I'm going to ask you to do is, this has time entries, time in and time out for that week of March 25, and I've cross-checked that against the daily logs that were submitted, and I have the Bates number written next to it. I'm going to ask you to take a look at that, compare it to your binder, and tell me whether or not the dates that are on the timely, this T87, are the same as on the daily logs. When you do it by date, just so we have a record,
sure.
The court reporter, could you read the number, the Bates number that corresponds to the date?
This is Monday, March 26th. Time in is 8 o'clock a.m., out 4 o'clock p.m., 8 hours. The daily log sheet states on page 263 of the binder, in at 8 a.m., and time out is 4 p.m.
Okay.
On Tuesday, March the 27th, states 8 o'clock a.m. in time, 7:30 out. Page 277 on the daily log sheet, it shows 8 a.m. in, 7:30 out, 11 and a half hours. March 28th shows in at 7 a.m., out at 3 o'clock p.m. The daily log sheet shows the same. That is on page 288 of the binder. Thursday, it says turn in sick request.
Let me interrupt you there. Now, you testified on direct that you were told that Deputy Sheriff Torres had submitted sick time, but what you got back 6 weeks later was a vacation time request. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
But that document, it's contemporaneous, signed by Deputy Torres, says sick time, correct?
Yes.
It's also signed by Chief Deputy Lineweaver?
Yes, that's okay. Correct.
Go ahead. The last date?
Friday, March the 30th, in time, shows 8 a.m., out 4 o'clock p.m. The daily log sheet shows the same.
And can you give us the Bates number on the daily log?
297.
Thank you. Those are all the redirect questions I have.
Okay, thank you. Does the board have any questions?
I have one. in reference to your communications with the sheriff's office, at any time did they ever give you any reason why they weren't going to communicate with you?
They stated that we were harassing them, and I had told Sheriff Christopher and both Deputy Chief Deputy Lineweaver that these were valid questions that we were asking, and Sheriff Christopher stated that they were not, that it was harassing questions.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. This may be an appropriate time to break for lunch, and if you do, take a recess. Do you have appropriate motion?
So moved.
Okay, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion's passed.
Okay, we're going to take a 45-minute break for lunch, and thanks to all the members of the public been here so far on the quiet nature that you've been listening to these proceedings.